Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Brookside. Now, a special welcome to any guests or visitors who have joined us. It is great to see you all this morning. I don't know about you, but I love a really good laugh. Do you like a good laugh? I mean, I love those laughs when it is so funny, tears are streaming down your face, you can't catch your breath. I love a really good laugh. So usually, when I drive to Sydney or Newcastle on those times, when I'm by myself, I like to download a comedy special, a podcast or something, just to listen to, you know, because if you're laughing, time seems to just fly so quickly, right? Sometimes it can be a little bit dangerous when you get to that really funny, ultra-funny bit where you're struggling to breathe. But there are other times when I listen to these comedies, and instead of making me laugh, it makes me think. Let me tell you about this one trip. I'm cruising along. I'm listening to a comedian. And this comedian starts talking about the time that he was at the airport and how he noticed a friend in line. So he broke out of the line, he ran and gave his friend a tremendous bear hug. I mean, one of those hugs that two good friends give each other. After the hug has finished, the comedian looks at his friends and realizes that he has no idea who this person is. They just simply look alike. So the comedian starts explaining his thought patterns. What do you do in this situation? Do you say, whoops, sorry, I thought you were someone else? His response was this. He leant in extra close to this guy and said to him in a really serious voice, "Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" Rather than admit a mistake, this comedian said he would rather be thought as a religious nutter. Rather than admit that he had made a mistake, he would rather be thought as a religious nutter. This joke may have made me smile, but it didn't really make me laugh. Today we come to celebrate and remember Jesus on the cross. And I must admit that when I was a child, I never really understood why we remember Jesus' death as good. I mean, when I worked out that, hey, I got a school holiday, and I didn't have to go to school and it was related to Jesus, I really struggled. I'm like, okay, it's good because I get a day off school, but this Jesus guy, he died. That's not good. And then that movie, The Passion of the Christ, came out. It's a bit old now, isn't it? It's a bit dated, that reference, Daryl, Passion of the Christ. But that movie, it is one of the highest grossing R-rated movies out there, where it shows you in graphic detail what actually happened with Jesus on the cross. Sometimes I wonder that we sort of PG, we have a PG version of the cross. We have this toned down version. Yeah, it was bad, but we don't really understand. But as a child, I struggled. I struggled to understand why these Christians called this Good Friday. I started to wonder if I was hanging out with religious nutters. See, we don't celebrate death. We don't think it's a joyous thing. Sure, there might be times when we know someone who is suffering from a long-term illness, who suddenly passes, and we might feel a sense of relief that they are no longer suffering. But mixed with that, we also feel this sense of, I will miss them. We don't get out on the streets and celebrate that they had died. We mourn. A few years ago, when SEAL Team 6 found Bin Laden hiding, when he died, People got out to the streets and they celebrated. And to me, it felt incredibly weird. It just didn't seem right. Sure, he was probably the world's biggest bad guy, but to celebrate his death, it confused me. And then I started thinking about celebrating Jesus' death, the ultimate good guy, the one who scriptures tell us did nothing wrong, the one who healed people, who cast out demons, who came declaring the kingdom of God. He died, and we call it a celebration. In my mind, in my small, pea brain-sized mind, it doesn't seem right. We might celebrate when a bad person dies. Or I don't know if you've ever been in the movies and the bad guy in the movie meets an unexpected death and there's a round of applause. But we don't celebrate when the good guy dies. In fact, we shed a tear or two. And if that person is alive and we know... Well, they can't be alive if they're dead, Daryl. If we know them before they die, if they die too soon, we certainly don't celebrate it then. We don't celebrate when a good person dies. Instead, we ask questions. Why? Why did they have to die? If they've got a young family, they would be like, but wait, this isn't fair. They've got a young family. If they were talented, we will talk about, hey, they showed so much promise. They were so talented. It's such a shame that they left. So what on earth is it about Jesus' death that we can say is good? So I did some research, and some people suggest that a Good Friday, the word good, it used to have two meanings, as in positive or as in holy. So maybe instead of calling it Good Friday, we should call it more Holy Friday. Others wanted to talk about how God and good got switched around due to the similarities and the way that they sound. They point to a case study. Do you know the farewell that you used to say was, God be with you, which turned into God be, which turned into goodbye. So perhaps we've just naturally changed our language. Good Friday was originally meant to be God's Friday. I think we call it Good Friday because in retrospect, in those quiet moments when we really think about it, this tragedy brought one of the greatest goodnesses that could be. Yet despite its sadness, Good Friday is truly good. One writer commented that if it was an accident that God's Friday was changed to Good Friday, then he suggested it wasn't an accident at all, but rather it was God's own doing, a sharp prophetic jab at culture and time obsessed by happiness. See, when I get to Good Friday, it hits me like a ton of bricks that Jesus' death reminds me of the sin that I have, the sin that he deals with, the sin that caused his death. As I was preparing, I was reading a few different things and I came across a blog. And one of these blogs was talking about why isn't it that Christians want to fight more for Good Friday? I mean, every year at Christmas time, we have Christians who will fight to make sure Christ stays in Christmas. But do we have the same passion for Easter? When I read that, I started thinking about maybe we should decorate our houses with things at Easter time. Let's put up some wooden crosses. And then I remembered another Christian group that likes to put wooden crosses up in people's house, and I went, I shouldn't go there. See, we might grumble around Easter time. We might grumble that hot cross buns are out in supermarket as soon as New Year's hit. Or we might get that post on Facebook saying, oh, they're called Easter eggs, not holiday eggs. But we don't really fight, I think, for the goodness of Good Friday. This writer that I was reading said, Christians need to embrace Good Friday. We need to hold on to its sacred specialness of it. We need to declare it and celebrate it. So why do we celebrate Good Friday? Well, we celebrate it because without Friday, there would be no Sunday. There's this famous sermon once preached on a Good Friday, and it had a catch cry. It had a phrase that people walked away with, and maybe you've heard it before. It goes a little bit like this: it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. See, Friday leads us to Sunday. Friday, where Jesus' death is important. Friday, this sacrifice that pays the price of sin. But the resurrection on Sunday redefines everything. My friends, we need both Jesus' death and his resurrection. We need Friday. We need to celebrate it. We need to hold the sacredness of it as well as Sunday. And we need to celebrate it because this cross is where everything changes for us. Easter is about an empty tomb, but first, it's about the cross. Easter is about joy of being reconciled with God, but it should also carry with it sadness. It should sadden us greatly. Good Friday should give us pause. For his death, Jesus, God made flesh, his death was slow and painful beyond measure. We should pause and be sad because the Son of God, the one who the Gospels tell us about, this Jesus who had power over sickness, the environment, and even death, now seems so, so powerless. You talk to people, and they'll say that we love the teachings of Jesus, but we want nothing to do with the cross. Another writer put it like this: religious-minded people, they want the miracles and the powers of Jesus. The intellectually-minded people want the wisdom and truth. But God, what he wants, first of all, is for us to understand the cross. The early believers, the early church fathers, they called the cross the wisdom and the power of God. This cross that becomes a stumbling block for others is something for all Christians to consider, most especially today, but every day. It is his death that changes everything. And it's both his power and his wisdom that led him to the cross. But we downplay it. People prefer not to dwell on such things. After all, who really wants to suffer? It's true, right? We do everything we can to avoid suffering as much as we possibly can. But Jesus willingly suffered. When someone we know is suffering, we might quote them that often quoted passage. God promises never to forsake you. But it doesn't feel right at times. It doesn't always feel that way. On the cross, Jesus utters two phrases. And one of them is, "Why, God, have you forsaken me?" And the other is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." God promises to never forsake us, although at times it may feel like he's not there. At the cross, even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust the Father beyond all circumstances. At the cross, the moment when Jesus felt like the Father had forsaken him, is also the moment where he commends, where he puts it all into God's hands. And the funny thing is, and this isn't really funny at all, Jesus knew this was coming. Jesus predicted his death. He talked to his disciples about the resurrection. And while it's one thing to predict the future, it's another to go to the cross willingly. At least three times, Jesus shared his destiny with the disciples. And three times, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And more challenging is still the fact that Jesus embraced his destiny so openly. He had great angst embracing it. He prayed so fervently that his sweat turned into blood. Yet he knew what was before him. He knew his Father's promises. But death still laid ahead of him. And death is still death. Even for Jesus, it was his trust in the Father. It was his trust in God's promises that caused him to wager everything he had, his very life, for us. As a man, Jesus modeled how to trust God, as he laid it all down for us. So Good Friday, we always, I think, need to come to it with the idea of that, like Jesus, we need to trust God. That here on this rugged, blood-soaked cross, Jesus died for us. And he died that we might live. He died so our sins, those things that have sold us into slavery, those things that have separated us from God, that they can be dealt with fully. Do you know what? If he has dealt with it fully, and I believe that he has, then that is why we call it Good Friday. That is why it's holy and it's sacred and why we need to hold on to it. Jesus has dealt with those things that have kept us from God. But we should also be reminded today comes at a cost. Today we're going to conclude our service in a different way from usual. Usually there would be a blessing, we would walk out, we would have some morning tea, we would have a chat, a catch up, but today there is none. There's no coffee, there's no tea, there's no cake, there's no biscuits. Today we leave here with sadness because of the cost. An innocent man died. a man who was without sin died for us. In a while, Barbie's going to come up and pray. We're going to have another song, and then we're going to finish with communion. A communion where we remember his death and the covenant that he set out before. And after the communion, I invite you to take a moment of solace, a moment of quiet. If you want to, you can stay here and pray. Or you can leave quietly. But as we leave here, we leave in mourning. We leave in godly sorrow, for Jesus, the Lamb of God, has died. But deep down inside, there is a ray of light. We live in hope, because it's not just about his death. It is about his resurrection. Today is Friday, but Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming. So I'd like to invite Barbie to come up and pray for us. And then the band will come up and sing. And during this time, I would invite you to reflect on what Jesus' death means. The fact that he died for you. Think about today and all its meaning, but live in hope for Sunday. Thanks, Barbie.